Good morning. I want to call to order the July 15th, 2021 meeting of the San Diego Metropolitan Transit System Executive Committee and welcome everyone. Ask the clerk to please call the roll.
Before I begin, members of the public can make a public comment using the raise hand feature during the agenda item or make a request for any items using the Q&A feature. Antes de comenzar, los miembros del público pueden hacer un comentario público utilizando la función raise hand o levantar la mano durante el artículo de la agenda o peticionar cualquier artículo utilizando la función Q&A o preguntas y respuestas. I will now call roll. Fletcher?
Here.
Sotelo Solis? Ilo Rivera?
Present.
Gastel?
Here.
Montgomery Stepp?
Here.
Salas? Aguirre?
Aguirre here.
Chair, we have a quorum.
Wonderful. Thank you all. First item on the agenda is approval of the minutes for the June 10th, 2021 meeting. I'll make a motion to approve. Is there a second?
There's a second. I will second.
All right. We have a motion by myself, seconded by Member Montgomery Stepp. Any comments or questions? Seeing none, all in favor signify by saying aye.
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 That motion carries. We'll go to agenda item 3, public comment. I'll ask the clerk if there's any request for non-agendized public communication at this time.
We have one. Michelle Krug, please unmute yourself now.
Good morning, Chair Fletcher and Executive Board. I just really want to reiterate thanking you for switching to this Zoom platform. I so much appreciate it, and I've heard great comments from other people as well accessing it. And also, I wanted to just highlight Stacey Bishop as just being a model public servant in terms of her always checking details, making sure for me that I have access, and I know she does that with others as well. So thank you very much.
Thank you, and we echo that. Thank you, Stacy, and thank you, Michelle. So we're going to move. We have a few discussion items today. The first two are informational, and then item 6, we're going to request an executive committee approval of that item. Let's start. For our remote members of the executive committee, if you have a comment or question when we get to that, it's at this point, it's best to just unmute yourself and start talking. If I can see you by then I will let you know, but otherwise just feel free to weigh in. So with that, let's go to item 4, Midcoast Phase 1 Turnover Report. We're going to turn over to Brian for a presentation.
Thank you, Chair Fletcher and Executive Committee for having me here today to present on the Midcoast Project pre-revenue activities as well as festivities. My name is Brian Riley. I'm the superintendent of the Transportation Department here at MTS Rail Division. I also serve as the chairman of the Rail Activation Committee for the Midcoast Project. I'm going to give you a quick project lifecycle overview of the Midcoast Project. Construction of the project started in fall of 2016 and will continue to the fall of 2021. System integrated testing mid-July 2021, which actually started on Monday, July 12th, and that'll run through mid-September of 2021. Emergency response drills, which are a part of the certification process, those started in July. The first one we had actually on Tuesday, July 13th, at Balboa Station, and those will continue. We have one also tomorrow on July 16th. Training for the Midcoast Project, supervisors as well as train operators need to be trained on the Midcoast alignment inside of the classroom as well as on the alignment. That will start in mid-September and that will run through November of 2021. Pre-revenue opening festivities as well as VIP trips, public engagement. We've already started that. We had an event at Tecolote on June 28th, which went very, very well. Those will continue through November of 2021. And ultimately, the big exciting thing is revenue service. Right now, the scheduled date for opening is November 21st, 2021. You know, Rail Activation Committee. What is the Rail Activation Committee? What is the composite of it? I mentioned earlier in my opening statement that I serve as the chairman of the Rail Activation Committee. Well, the Rail Activation Committee is a group of subject matter experts, and that group hails from MTS Rail Operations, our Maintenance and Wayside Department, our light rail vehicle maintenance, our facilities department, our safety department. We also partner with our Metropolitan Planning Organization, which is SANDAG, our State Safety Oversight, California Public Utilities Commission, our contractors, MCTC and Modern Rail Systems and their subs, as well as our construction management team, Jacobs and HDR. So that's the composite of the Rail Activation Committee. What are the key elements? Why is there a Rail Activation Committee? What do we do? Well, we ensure that all construction elements are completed appropriately and that we're ready for certification of the alignment for passenger service. We ensure that signals are working and functioning appropriately, the track structure is appropriate, the 9 passenger stations, the 22 miles of overhead wire, our traction power network, our substations, our elevators, and our parking lots. We complete all system integrated testing. There's 25 system integrated tests that need to be certified and tested prior to us actually going into passenger service. We coordinate all of operations and maintenance staffing, and we perform operational readiness and safety drills. I mentioned the system integrated testing. Well, there's a subcommittee of the Rail Activation Committee, AKA RAC, but there's the System Integration Committee. And there's 25 system integrated tests that must be performed to certify the extension is ready for passenger service. Some of these tests, but not limited, are our radio system, our vehicle clearance testing, vehicle station interface, traction power network, our site visibility, safe braking testing, operating speed verifications, our pedestrian crossings at Executive Drive and UTC. And for those of you that don't know, there's some unique characteristics of those two stations as far as the pedestrian crossings and applications that are required at those locations. And ultimately, the headway travel time to ensure that we can actually deliver on-time rail service. Trains have started testing. We actually started testing on the 12th, which was an exciting day for us to get dynamic testing going. They started in July, and the testing will continue to mid-September of 2021, where we'll roll from that testing into our training. I mentioned earlier that, you know, there's some emergency response drills that have to happen for us to actually certify the system and get operating, and that's with our first responders, our fire department, our law enforcement, as well as our paramedics. We've actually already had our first drill, and I really wish I had some of the pictures actually to share with you here today of the first drill that we had on Tuesday, because it's quite exciting to see what's going on out on the alignment. We had our first drill on Tuesday the 13th. That was at Balboa Station. We actually have another drill tomorrow on the 16th. That'll be at Balboa Station also. There may be additional drills in the future that will be coordinated between our Security Safety Review Committee, our Fire Life Safety Security, and also our Rail Activation Committee in the future. But definitely, we've already had one, which was Tuesday, and we have another one scheduled for tomorrow. You know, originally, when we first, you know, the RAC got together and we were looking at actually taking over and getting, you know, transitioning from construction into testing and ultimately getting into training, we really wanted to take over the full alignment, all 11 miles. That's what we wanted to do. We wanted to jump into it and get into that system integrated testing. Well, we ran into some roadblocks, and we didn't have an opportunity to take the full 11 miles over. But what we did was we looked at, you know, what were the opportunities? What could we actually get started on testing? So we're taking a phased approach at track turnover. It's called a southern and northern section. So on Monday, as I mentioned, on July 12th, we actually started the testing. That was when we first got dynamic testing going on the alignment. And we started that testing on the first 7.5 miles of the alignment, which is the majority of the line. So the first 7.5 miles is considered the southern section, and that basically what we started doing, we took the responsibility of operations and maintenance. That's from Friars Junction up to La Jolla Colony Drive. And as I mentioned earlier, that's the majority of the alignment. What are we doing there? We're responsible. MTS now is responsible for the overhead catenary system, the traction power network, the signals, the track structure, the 3 passenger stations, landscaping, and graffiti control. Our security department, Al Styler's group, they actually took over security of the full 11 miles of the alignment on June 28th. So we are currently responsible for security of the full 11 miles of the extension. Right now, our plans are August 2nd, we will take over the remaining 3.5 miles of the alignment, which is inclusive of the remaining 6 passenger stations on the northern end, most of the elevated structure, And as far as the roles and responsibilities, the responsibilities will remain the same, as I mentioned earlier, of what we've already taken over. It'll be the overhead catenary system, traction power, the signaling system, track structure, the six stations on the northern section, landscaping and graffiti control. I have an exhibit here. This exhibit kind of breaks it down, so it gives you a visual of what do these two segments look like. There's a southern and there's a northern section. Southern section, as you can see, is on the bottom. That's inclusive of the first three stations that are on the southern end, which is our Tecolote station, our Claremont station, our Balboa station, and the 7.5 miles of ballasted track. So ballasted track is our open track area. That's, you know, not the elevated structure that's on the northern end. We're responsible for that area right now. We're out there aggressively testing on a daily basis. That started on Monday, and that will continue on the southern end until August, till we take over that northern section. And if you look up top, that's the northern section. That's the remaining 3.5 miles and the six passenger stations on the northern end, which is Nobel, VA Medical Center, UC San Diego Health, UC San Diego Campus, UC San Diego Health, Executive Drive, and also UTC. So that's an exhibit showing what the southern and northern demarcation line exhibit looks like. You know, we talked a little bit about training. Training is the lifeblood of rail operations and maintenance. It's extremely important. So just like when, you know, just like the regular alignment, the 53 miles that we currently have, this additional 11 miles, all of our employees must be trained on it as part of the certification process. So we have a robust training program that's been developed and vetted, and we've already actually trained some of our employees on this alignment. But our supervisors in the transportation department will start their training in mid-September, and that will run through the end of September. All of our train operators will go through training for the Midcoast Extension. That will start end of September, and that will run through early November, push us right up against Revenue Service. And when that training starts, trains will be out there operating on a daily basis between Tecolote and UTC stations. What is the training? Why do we need to do the training? Because our train operators and our supervisors need to become familiar with the characteristics of the alignment. That's the stations, the 9 passenger stations, all of the signals that are on the alignment, all of our track structure, operating speeds, and all the rules, policies, and procedures associated with the alignment. So exciting times. Well, what would an opening be without some festivities and VIP events? Well, we do have some of those currently on the schedule. Congressman Scott Peters and VIP dignitaries, we have train rides scheduled for them currently on Tuesday, August 24th. That's going to be on our southern region that we showed earlier. That'll be between Old Town and Balboa Station. So for the MTS board, you weren't left out. There are invitations that are forthcoming. You will be invited to that event on Tuesday, August 24th. Then also, MTS and our partners over at SANDAG, we have a media event that's scheduled for August 28th, and that's going to be along the southern region as well, and that'll be between Old Town and Balboa Station. You know, as I mentioned earlier, you know, MTS, this is a great, great time to be a part of MTS, and with the rich history of all the openings that we've had, you know, this is our 10th opening. This opening is by far the most aggressive and also massive in scope, and we're really, really excited about it with the Rail Activation Committee and all the personnel inside of MTS. That pretty much concludes my presentation on pre-revenue activities and festivities. And if there are any questions, I'll be happy to answer those at this time. Thank you.
Thanks, Brian. I just wanted to also mention that we're trying to arrange for a full 11-mile tour for our board members. So we need to schedule that. We were hoping to schedule it maybe the first week in September. We need to look at people's schedules for that. If need be, we could push it into the next week. And then at that point, I think everybody's going to be back in session. So with that, any questions?
Cool. Thank you, Brian. Thank you. And really appreciate all the hard work that is going on. And I know the board's excited. For all the things coming in. We don't take for granted how much work, you know, it's easy to get on that trolley, it runs, it's safe. We don't take for granted everything that goes into making that happen. Let me ask quickly if we have any public speakers on this item.
There are none, Chair.
Okay. Let me ask members of the Executive Committee if you have any comments or questions you would like for Brian or Sharon or anyone. All right, not seeing anyone. This is an informational item only, no action needed. Thank you very much for the update. Let's go to item 5, Pronto Fare Collection System Implementation Update. We're not only bringing on new trolley lines. We're bringing on a whole new fare collection system. We're doing it all at the exact same time. Because that's what we do at MTS. We just do all the hard things at once.
So I wanted to bring this to you as the committee because we are already live. Literally, you could go out to a ticket vending machine and try to purchase something. You wouldn't be able to because there are no cards in them. But and we wanted to be you to be aware as we go into the month of August where we're going to be dark that the activities don't stop. And we wanted you to be aware of all of the various outreach efforts that are going to happen in August. This is going to be a complete all-hands-on-deck kind of activity for the next 6 weeks. We're really excited about, hitting that September 1 date where anyone with Pronto can have free access to transit. And so that's something that we're working diligently to get to. So while you're all enjoying your time this summer, we'll be having fun with our customers. With that, I'll give it to Rob.
Thank you, Sharon. Yeah, I think you've got some little goodies in front of you, the Pronto, some of our promotional items. Michelle said what a great public servant Stacy is, and she truly is putting together a lot of the components of this program, procuring stuff, as you know, going through the rigmarole of procuring things. Stacy's organized all of that. She's also organized the public safety aspect of our outreach for the Midcoast. But anyway, she's done all of our outreach planning. But she is joined by a lot of us in marketing that are working really hard to make Pronto, the transition to Pronto, as successful as we can. Israel is the brainchild of this thing. He is really organizing it all. Marketing just gets to come in and get all the glory, but it's this project doesn't work without Israel leading it throughout. So much of our success is due to Israel's diligence on this, and the whole team is involved. Anyways, our timing on this, July, we're finalizing all of our modules now, making sure it works. We're in the final testing phase. This week and next week, we've got about 40 to 50 of our employees going out into the field and doing as many taps as we can to see if the functionality is there and seeing if it ties into the back end, because after all, this is a fare collection system, and we need to make sure that works. August is when we really start our major outreach efforts. We've got 52 events planned. I'll get into some of that a little bit more detail later. But we're going to expand our pilot to the community, our friendly riders. And that's going to essentially mean we're in a soft launch phase, and I'll talk about that too. But at the end of August, we're stopping our Compass product sales. Our advertising starts in August, and our website and mobile portions of the project go live also in August. September, as you well know, if you've got a Pronto account, you've got a Pronto card, you can ride free all month with that. So that's kind of our transition plan. Our outreach will continue there. Advertising continues. And then at the end of September, all of the Compass hardware will be removed. October, it's goodbye Compass and hello Pronto. So our outreach activities, August is going to be very busy. We've got 52 outreach events scheduled. It totals up to 194 hours. Essential to our successful transition is getting Pronto cards into the hands of all of our riders. And so that's our primary intent there. We also do have six contracts with community-based organizations. So there's it totals about $50,000 that we're spending on those CBOs to reach hard-to-reach populations. We're doing a direct mail to 28,000 reduced fare card holders, so that we're taking advantage of our database and making sure that those riders have an easy way to get Pronto cards. Reaching out to all of the social service agencies. Key to that is our direct communications with the San Diego Regional Center. They've got 2,800 clients that they're going to provide the cards to. So, we need a lot of help in this distribution of cards, and the CBOs and our partners that we communicate all the time with are going to help. working really hard with the colleges and universities. UCSD is on board, SDSU is on board. Stacy also heads that up. We have work with the community colleges. So everybody's on board. The community colleges and universities, they're mainly interested in getting the mobile solution for Pronto. Had a good meeting with Richard Barrera in the San Diego Unified High School District, and they're going to help us hand out tens of thousands of cards, and we've got efforts going on with the Grossmont High School District in Sweetwater as well to see if we can get some help from those districts. Business community is really important to us, so we've already put out a series of communications that lets people know our business partners, our institutional partners, our EcoPass partners that, you know, reach out to your employees. Tell them about Free Ride Month in September. Tell us how many cards you might need so you can expand your programs, and we'll get those cards into your hands for distribution. Also working with Sandag and iCommute, they have a tremendous database of businesses that are already on board with transit, but also all of those businesses that they've met with and have been on the fence in the past. So this is an opportunity for them to expand their tri-transit program and get cards into people's hands for that September Free Ride Month. We're going to support this with a big advertising campaign. Civilian is our marketing partner. They have put together a complete plan that segments all of our audiences, segments messages, identifies the best media to reach them all. And so, you know, of the $600,000 that we're paying, it's split up between all of the traditional and digital media methods. Central to this too is driving them to assets that help them understand how to use Pronto. So we've got almost a dozen how-to videos in process, how to use the TVM, how to go on to the website and manage your accounts, how you need Pronto to get your free rides. And so all of that will be part of our digital campaign that people will link directly to those videos. And then, of course, we'll have a huge earned media effort, news conferences to help us promote the August outreach, news conference to help us with the September free rides. We'll place news articles to support our advertising buy and all that kind of stuff. So, you know, the next 2.5 months are going to be very busy for us. It's always an exciting opportunity to get out there and interact with our riders and understand their concerns. So it's going to be a company-wide kind of effort. We have how many people total do we have, Stacy, signed up? It's you know, a lot. We have some help from Brown Marketing. We have some help from our ambassadors. Our security department's all involved, and so this is a big effort from all of us to get out there and communicate with our customers and let them know that Pronto's coming. So I think that's the overview. Israel is here to take questions on any technical aspects. Stacy can always help me with all of the marketing efforts we're doing.
And I actually just wanted to comment about, because we've been in negotiations with North County Transit District as well, to finalize agreements to try to get us together on the whole program. We met yesterday and had a really great meeting. We should be finalizing agreements with them within the next 2 weeks.
That is wonderfulness. We appreciate our partners at NCTD. Let me ask if we have any public speakers on this item.
We have one. All Michelle right. Cruz.
Let's hear from Michelle.
Please unmute yourself now.
Again,
Michelle, you're breaking up.
Get a 3-month transition, then just let me walk out into a different area. Is this better?
Yes, that's better.
Can you hear me?
Yes.
Okay. I just want to thank you I'm excited about Pronto coming into fruition. I think it's a great program. I do want to ask you again to make it into a 3-month transition rather than just the 1 month. It doesn't need to be free for the 3 months. September's great, but I just taking people a while to start to buy the card. I also wanted to ask if you've thought about having robocalls to people like myself that are blind but are on your system for the reduced fare, if you could also do follow up with phone numbers, because you have our phone numbers when we fill out the information. And lastly, I did not hear, you said it, Southwestern College, San Diego Community College, Grossmont, Cuyamaca. I'm just wondering if they're, part of the mix, because I know that those students and those boards would particularly be interested in helping promote this for their campuses. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Thank you, Michelle. The educational outreach, is it, you want to touch on that? Multiple partners, multiple institutions.
Excuse me?
We're working with a number of colleges. And
Yeah. We work with all of the community colleges. They are all on board with our semester pass program. We've offered the Pronto program in mobile for them. But so they're on board. They know about Pronto. A number of them have signed on with Pronto, but not all of them.
Wonderful. One thing, I think the how-to videos on Pronto are really good. As we do the push around September, and it's free, you know, I think some of the how-to videos we probably already have around how to use the system. Mm-hmm. Because it is, you know, if you frequently use the bus or trolley system, you figure it out, you know how it works, it's very easy. If it's your very first time, can be a little daunting to learn the schedules and the maps and where do I go and how do I do. And so maybe even some just, hey, if this is your first time ever taking the trolley, mm-hmm. well, here's how you get your Pronto card, and then here's how you get from where you are to where you want to be.
Right.
Or if it's your first time ever using the bus, or if you're going to use a combination of both. So as we do that rollout, you know, really trying to induce some people to try transit for the first time, and maybe we have a little sub campaign around, you know, try it for the first time. Which would be very different than our experienced riders. Okay. So I think that would be something good to add. Let me ask other executive committee members if you have any comments or thoughts. If not, this is informational only. No action for us to take.
Chair, I just have a quick comment. Thank you so much for everything that you're doing around this effort, and in particular the relationships that we're establishing with the CBOs. Definitely want to monitor that and give Urban Collaborative, Mr. Pollard, a quick shout out. Traditionally, we've had quite a few CBOs very involved in transportation and not necessarily focused on the Southeastern region. So I'm grateful to have him as a part of this, and thank you for including all the CBOs, and that's all I have.
Perfect. Thank you. All right. Not seeing anyone else. Informational item only. Thank you. Rob, Stacy, Israel, thank you, team, for all the work. We're going to go to agenda item 6, Title 6 Monitoring Report for Service Policy. This is an action item for the board to consider approval to the full board of directors, and then be curious on executive committee member thoughts if we put it on consent or if we want to do this full presentation for the whole board. So with that, let me turn it over to Desmond. Dennis.
Good morning, executive committee. Thank you. Today I'm going to present a report on a monitoring report on our service policies for Title VI compliance. As a federal funding recipient, we do follow FTA's guidance on compliance with Title VI of the Civil Rights Act. And their guidance is established in a 2012 circular 47021B, which required a number of changes to what we do, including changes to our policy 42 on service monitoring and service changes. Part of the requirements in that circular are ongoing monitoring of service standards, with results of those monitoring efforts brought to the board at least every 3 years. We actually bring those to the board a couple of times a year during our performance monitoring reports, annual and quarterly. But there's also two administrative policies, a vehicle assignment policy and distribution of transit amenities policy, that also need to be monitored at least every 3 years. And that's the report that I'm bringing to you today on those two policies. The vehicle assignment policy details how our buses and trolley cars are distributed throughout our transit system. You've last seen both of these policies at our general Title VI update, which was presented to the board in May of this year and submitted to the FTA on June 1st. I'll note that we've since made amendments to both the vehicle assignment and distribution of transit amenities policies, with new additions going out on July 1st, 2021. For the vehicle assignment policy, the change that we made in July of this year was to how buses are distributed in light of the zero-emission bus, the ZEB transition plan. Previously, buses had always been distributed based on age. In other words, a fleet would stay at the same division and always be replaced as it aged out. So you would always have old fleet, new fleet at the same division, regardless of where it was. What we did in the July 1st update to comply with the zero emission bus transition plan was to prioritize the deployment of those battery electric buses in disadvantaged areas and on disadvantaged community serving routes. And that was a result of the board action on that ZEB transition plan. The second policy is the distribution of transit amenities policy, and I'll mention that both of these are included as attachment B to this. So the action today is related to the monitoring report and not the policies themselves, but we did include those as an attachment just for your information. The distribution of transit amenities policy deals with benches, shelters, trash cans, electronic message signs, information signs, that kind of thing, all of the amenities that are there for passengers at our stops and our stations. Again, we updated this policy in July of this year with a change to incorporate an equity provision to not only look at the ridership, which has traditionally been the driver for the amenities at each stop and station, but also to consider whether a stop or a station is in a disadvantaged community and prioritize those amenities going in those stops and stations. So this will manifest itself in going forward in things like our capital improvement program and our agency performance goals, where you'll actually see equity metrics on these amenities, installation of amenities. So talking about the monitoring report itself, again, this is the report that we bring to you at least every 3 years. Looking at the monitoring results, and this is for the policies pre-July, although it wouldn't have changed the monitoring results either way. There was one exception to our vehicle assignment policy. This is related to the articulated rapid freeway buses that were purchased for our Rapids 235 and 237. These have the high back cushioned seats that we have purchased specifically for those two routes because they operate or operated a large segment on the freeway. So since those were implemented in 2014, Route 237 no longer has a freeway segment. And we've also needed to use the articulated buses on our Rapid 201-202 Superloop, which is not a freeway route. So we've actually had to reallocate those buses to from the 237 to the 201-202. So that is an exception to the policy. However, when those buses are due for replacement in a couple of years, they'll be purchased with the regular Rapid articulated buses that we put on our other city routes versus the freeway configuration. In terms of the transit amenities policy, there are no exceptions noted in the compliance for that. So today's action would be to recommendation to forward the monitoring report to the board of directors for this month, July 29th. And then the monitoring report would, upon approval by the Board of Directors, would be submitted with our next triennial update for Title VI, which will be in spring of 2024. With that, I'm happy to answer any questions.
Thank you. Thank you, Dennis. Let me ask if we have any public speakers on this item.
There are none, Chair.
All right. Let me ask any comments or questions. I see Councilmember Elo Rivera with his hand raised. The floor is yours.
Thank you, Chair, and thank you, staff, for the presentation here. as we've talked about on several occasions, it's super important to our office to expand the to ensure that the folks who are riding transit do so with dignity. And so while going over the report, we noticed that there really aren't many MTS-owned bathrooms throughout the system. If we counted correctly, there's only 4 throughout the whole system. And we've heard requests at MTS and throughout the community for readily accessible restrooms throughout the system. And obviously from a public health standpoint, this would be very, very important for our riders. And again, a way of expanding the dignity of being a transit user. So I'm wondering about the possibility of evaluating and exploring securing joint use agreements on bathroom access with various city and county buildings and properties. Just one example is right outside the city hall building, which is, as many of you know, a real icon of design. I'm kidding. It's an atrocious building, but nonetheless, there is a public restroom out there, and it's right next to transit. In this idea, we wouldn't really need MTS to fully build out new bathrooms, and we could quickly and significantly improve our riders and drivers' bathroom access through these partnerships. And then the last thing on this point is just as an agency, perhaps we could provide more bathroom signage where applicable to let our riders know when there are restrooms at X transit stop or adjacent property/business. So I don't know if the staff has any responses to that. No need to answer now, but that concludes my comments, Chair.
Yeah, this is Sharon. I would be glad to talk about it. I joke with the staff all the time. I know more about bathrooms than probably anybody else here. There are many bathrooms along our line that are accessible to our patrons, our customers. San Ysidro is an example. There are a couple of bathroom options right out there at the near the platform. You could look at 24th Street. The school there actually has a public access bathroom that is located so that it was supposed to be for, customers. It is not open, but the Sweetwater School District could open that. Just going up the line. Here at 12th and Imperial, there's a bathroom access. Gas Lamp, there's bathroom access. The city has a bathroom right there, public. There's a bathroom access at America Plaza. As you mentioned, Civic Center, our patrons are welcome to use that one. I could keep going. There are bathrooms, Old Town, El Cajon Transit Center, Lemon Grove. There are options for bathroom use, but I like the idea of the signage on the platform to indicate go this way if you need to use the restroom. So we should look into that. And as we do the new signage with the Midcoast, we could maybe incorporate that.
Yeah, I think that's a really good suggestion. I mean, Councilmember Milo Rivera, we have a county building down right by a transit stop, and while our architecture may not be as beautiful as the city's building, we have a bathroom that is, it's available there and it's open certain hours. And so if there were signage at and now it's a little bit of a walk there. It's not directly adjacent, right? You got to walk a full block past the fire station across the street. But if there was a sign that said public restrooms available between these hours, and it literally said it's a 4-minute walk this way, if you put it in context, then people can make decisions. Do they have enough time to get there and back? And so that's a great idea. So yeah, we should definitely explore that.
Thank you, Sharon and Chair. I appreciate it.
Yep, that's a great idea. Mayor Salas.
Yeah, thank you for letting the board know that there's different options for bathrooms along, the transit lines. However, we can't rely on other private buildings and public buildings to be accessible for people to use bathrooms. And when you're giving an example of a 4-minute walk, that is a bit far for a lot of people that say may have it may have emergencies. And not only that, that, you know, have some disabilities that they have to deal with. So rather than just hearing, you know, that there are bathrooms around there, I think that there should be a survey or an inventory of what is available along the line, you know, how really accessible it is to the public. And if not, we really have to take more responsibility for providing those very important comforts for the riding transit, you know, for the transit customers. And, you know, being a mayor of the city and attending some conference of mayors, you know, meetings, and seeing that there are so many different new options for bathrooms rather than the traditional outhouses or brick and mortar ones, you know, ones that are secure, easy to maintain, easy to clean out, and remotely programmable so that you can make sure that supplies and everything are there. So there are options, very different options, that I think that we need to look at, because I don't think, again, looking at, you know, the lack of availability for our customers, we do have some responsibility to them, and I hope that we pursue it more.
Thank you. Thank you, Mayor Salas. Good points. Mayor Sotelo's Elise.
Thank you so much, Chair. I concur with my colleagues with regards to access.
I think we lost you there.
Oh, can you hear me?
Now we can.
Can you hear me now? Yeah. Oh, sorry about that. It said, can you unmute me? Well, sure can. All right, here we go. So I was just going to say that I concur with my colleagues with regards to access to the restrooms, especially along our mass transit lines. Right now is the time to invest in those resources. And I think that if we can do the public-private partnership, you know, it incentivizes those organizations to open up and have access to the restrooms for the members of the public. But also, too, it could incentivize, you know, their and stimulate some of the businesses as well. So I know that we have, you know, a whole program to where we encourage people to go to those small businesses and to those entities as part of, you know, the passport program that we had. Forget the name of it. But I think it's a way where we can build off of what we've already started. Secondly, it could really, again, to Mayor Salas's point, for those that walk or roll, again, with children or older adults, and even the busy adult that's, you know, into the heading to and from work, I think it's really important that we have those options. So I would like to see and support those efforts. I don't know if Member Ilo Rivera was going to make a motion, or if we have to seek some guidance regarding that, you know, because I would really like to see some fiscal commitment to that as well. Thank you so much, Chair.
Thank you. Yeah, I don't think at this point we need a motion. I think we're just reviewing the Title VI monitoring report to forward to the board. I think the points are well taken. And I think staff has some things to work on and ideas to bring back to us, and for both of those, and then we can assess those, I think, as we move forward. Probably be the best way. But
great, Chair. And Chair, one last thing. Then can we then do a time certain? You know, with regards to when staff will bring that back. I think it's right now is the time to, you know, get some fiscal commitment. Again, just as how we are looking to a number of other things. So can we say, you know, by the end of this quarter, or, you know, because I think there's been a lot of community conversation, and I think, you know, we don't want to keep people hanging. But what is staff's thought on that?
We'll bring the survey and inventory to the board in September.
Fabulous. I love it. Thank you.
It'll be good. And in September, we'll all be back together. So that'll be a wonderful thing. Councilmember Aguirre.
Yes, thank you, Chair. Quickly, I just want to echo my colleagues' comments regarding the inventory. I think that's a great idea. It's great to hear that we're committed to bringing that back in September. And the signage guiding folks to where the local or more closest restrooms are, just for the different abled. But also, I just want to remind everyone of a matter of perceived safety for women as well. We had a great presentation from Circulate San Diego at some point, and 70% of the women surveyed do not ride our transit system at night, because that last bit, that from the trolley to the bus station, or in this case to the restroom, when they're looking for one that's a 4-minute walk away, might not be well lit, and it might be a reason why we don't have more women riders at night. So I just wanted to point that out. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you. Very, very, very good point. All right. Any other comments or questions on this item? Not seeing any, I will make a motion to approve this going to the board. Is there a second by council member?
I will give a second.
Good. We're good. Second by council member Montgomery Stepp. I think this would be good for a board presentation. I think it'd be good to hear, particularly the ZEV adoption and changing the placement of new ones would be good. So we will hear this at the full board. With that, we have a motion by myself, seconded by member Montgomery Stepp. All in favor signify by saying aye. Aye.
Aye.
Aye.
Aye.
All right, that carries unanimously. We're going to go to agenda item 7, review of the draft July 29, 2021 MTS board agenda. Let me ask if there are any comments from executive committee members on this item.
Chair, very quickly, I do see, and I think this was heard at Public Security Committee, and I was not able to attend that meeting, but there was the approval of the pilot, extension of the pilot program for fare diversion. It's on consent, which is great, and I'll probably just make a few comments at that time, but just a kind of red flag, maybe others may want to say something about that. I know with what we've just added with the Title VI, we may have, you know, an agenda that fulfills our time being together, but I just want to flag that's on consent. That's all.
And we can pull it if any board member wants it pulled, we can pull it for discussion. Okay, any other thoughts on that? Item 8, other staff communications?
Oh, I just wanted to mention that Karen has a couple of closed session, I think, for this board meeting.
I think just one, a tort case. So it shouldn't take a significant amount of time, but we need some authority.
Got it.
Yeah, and the big item on this agenda will be the approval of the security contract.
Mm-hmm.
And by the way, we don't believe there'll be any more protests.
All right. Committee member communications, anything from any executive committee members they would like to share?
Chair, really quick. I just wanted to give a quick briefing on the SANDAG Transportation Committee meeting tomorrow. So a few items on their agenda for tomorrow. They'll be holding their first public hearing on the draft regional plan. They'll also be discussing opportunities for piloting projects included in the draft regional plan that serve historically marginalized communities. They'll be providing a status report on the regional bike plan program. And lastly, they'll be reviewing and recommending approval of SANDAG's 2021 FTA Title VI program update.
Perfect. Thank you for that. All right. Our next meeting date is September 9th, 2021. We were very efficient this morning. So with that, we stand adjourned. Thank you all.